At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Speaking of the Nats, I was there. You were there. Tobes was there. Our buddy Chris Russell was there. Anybody else?
Who else was there?
Tens of people were there at that game last night.
Let's just name more people that were there last night.
Let's name the people. Really, really fun. The debut for the kid, Robert Hassel III, was awesome. Really, really neat. There's a couple cool stories from the game last night. Keber Ruiz's parents got to see him play for the first time. We'll talk about that. And I already mentioned Hassel. And there's another kid. Looks like he's going to join him in the big leagues pretty soon.
Yeah, so let's start with the Nats. We don't often, but right now they're rolling. They've won five straight games. They pulled, for the moment, to within five games of the wild card in the National League. And they're just four away from 500 with wins in six of their last seven. They basically erased what was that wretched stretch that they had a little over a week ago, where they had dropped seven straight games. But they're doing it really twofold, I think. Starting pitching's been fairly consistent throughout the year. There are plenty of games like last night when Trevor Williams throws, or you know, you get a back-of-the-rotation start, and your starter's knocked out in the third or the fourth inning, and it's not pretty. But for the most part, they're an average-ish rotation in the National League. The question becomes the consistency of the lineup, which with their young players on heaters right now has been great of late. They're hitting, they're scoring. And the bullpen's been the disaster. My joke all year long, as you know, has been it's an 80-ish win team with a 59-win bullpen. And when you add those things together, they're going to be in the low 70s in wins, maybe. Well, the bullpen has actually been pretty solid lately. Last night, they were fantastic after Trevor Williams got knocked out of the game, pitching six-plus innings. And I think what you're seeing, Danny, is when this bullpen pitches at a major league caliber level, this is a very competitive baseball team. For all the people that buried them early in the season and talked about how bad they were, yeah, when your bullpen is historically horrific, and look, they built a bad bullpen. They have made changes. They've cut some of the guys. Colin Poche, the lefty. Lucas Sims, the righty. They've brought players up from the minors who have helped, like Cole Henry and Jackson Rutledge, who are getting higher leverage opportunities now. But it's amazing how much different things look when the bullpen isn't a complete fiasco.
Now, you could point to some stats. Overall, for the season, it's still pretty bad. This is still the worst in the National League bullpen overall numbers. ERA 6.22. You look at the whip. Look at average against just under 300. That's for the season, by the way. So, in other words, if you only got to face the Nationals bullpen as the major leagues, you'd be a 300 hitter with a 900 OPS and a bunch of numbers that are alarming. Of late, you already mentioned some of the transitions, some of the changes. Brad Lord moving from fifth spot starter into a bullpen role. Had a wild moment initially last night, settles in, get you an inning and a third to get you through that, to kind of bridge the game, get to the rest of the guys. Other players moving into different roles, some ascending, some descending. Now all of a sudden you start to get the feel. Nobody's sitting here telling you you've got the nasty boys from the Reds in the late 80s, early 90s. But this is a viable group that's fine. And you're going to have a weak link when you don't spend $1 trillion. That's their weak link still. But it ain't a disaster like it was all of a sudden, and they can win games like last night.
Yeah, I'm capable of having two discussions at the same time. I'm not moving on from the fact that the offseason from ownership wasn't good enough, that there was not enough money allocated to the front office, clearly, that they weren't willing to spend on the big bat that I would have liked in right field or at first base, you know, to go hit home runs and drive in runs. That they weren't able to add a starting pitcher, the likes of which I wanted to. You know, everybody laughs at the idea that Washington could have gone and gotten like a Max Fried, who's been sensational for the Yankees. Why couldn't they have? It's the 2025 version of going and getting a Max Scherzer type player. They used to do it. They don't anymore. So forget that, because that's just such an elite player to bring in. But any kind of real, true, legitimate upgrade to the rotation would have been nice. They spent $7 million on Trevor Williams, who last year pitched well, but was four innings, five innings at a time, and a five-and-dive guy that you got to get out of the game and that taxes your bullpen. And he's regressed substantially since last year, as you saw again last night. So if you just spend a little money, couple of relievers, starting pitcher, a bat, you're probably a 28-29 win team right now. You're a wild card team at this moment, because the plan is actually working in terms of the baseball operation. In terms of the build, the Soto deal, a gift that keeps on giving. The development within the system of the players like James Wood, who at 22 years old is on pace for 40 homers and 110 RBI. C.J. Abrams, who's playing the best baseball of his career and gets better every year and now is about to be a two-time All-Star at 24. Mackenzie Gore, their starting pitcher, has literally gotten better every single season in the big leagues and right now leads the major leagues in strikeouts as he gets ready to take the mound tonight. It's working internally,
yep.
But you need those reinforcements. I called in to Linnell today. He asked me to come on to talk Nats, and I was thrilled to do it. Five-game winning streak. Let's chat about them. Everybody in town should be taking notice of how good these young players are. But the analogy I used for him that I like and may use again is it feels to me like the battle of the big league season for the Nationals, this war that they're fighting, the battle plan was we sit around the table and we get our marching orders. And you go to James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and this core that Rizzo and Schlaba and DeBartolo and the front office built, and you say, we need you guys to scratch and claw and fight and give them hell. You're the first line. You're the first group in. And right when it's not in, you guys don't have enough yet. We get that. But we're going to come over the hill with the next wave and we're going to take them out. And the next wave is my 30-homer right fielder. The next wave is my 27-homer first baseman. The next wave is my number three starter in free agency. And they're doing their thing. They're down there giving them hell. This is the Newsies with Spot Conlon. We're putting people in headlocks and giving them noogies and Abrams and Wood and Cruz and the young guys. They're doing their job. And then they turn around right as they're starting to get overtaken going, it's okay, here comes the cavalry, but there's nothing coming. And so that is my annoyance. And I will keep my eye on that target. The lack of spending, the inability to push this over the top with veterans should not be forgotten, in my opinion. We got to keep our eye on that. But in season now, it's a different thing watching and evaluating day in and day out, Danny, with this Nationals team at 23-27, 5-in-a-row, 6-of-7, the kids playing the way they are, star power starting to take hold with Wood and with Abrams. This is a fun watch, and getting out to the ballpark is as good as it's been in a few years.
And even kind of game within the game type stuff, even games they don't win, and they've won 5 in a row, and they deserve credit for that, there's always a punchback. Even if it doesn't end up in a W, when Trevor Williams gives up back-to-back homers in the first, there's no thought of, all right, fine, let's pack it in. San Francisco's coming to town. You know, this is going to get away from us real quick. The Braves have our number today. Matt Olson owns us. He homers every other game against us. This is going to be a deluge. They punch right back, scored one, had a chance to score more, scored four in the second. Here come the Braves, take the lead. Doesn't matter. They punch back. In the ninth inning, a blown save after an error. Instead of, again, hanging your head, they execute a perfect relay to cut the win, what would have been the winning run, down at home plate, give themselves a chance, get out of a jam. They just keep coming. They keep fighting. They keep punching back. And it's a grind out, do what you can. I mean, they're even game within the game type stuff. There are at-bats that don't go your way. I think it was Jose Tana last night. Had like a 13-pitch at-bat resulted in a flyout. But that's the kind of thing where you go, that's competing right there at the highest level. Jose Tana is not part of the future. He's not. He's here for now. He's a nice utility piece. He's hadn't played a ton of games at third base, but he's getting better over there. Unfortunate for him that it results in that ninth inning where he kicks what should have been the game-ending double play ball. That dude is part of this culture now, and their culture is, I think you said the word, it's scrappy. It is a, you might beat us. In fact, the numbers say you're going to. Not without a fight, though. We are going to bother you. We're going to be the pain in the butt. I think that's the first step, learning how to compete at the highest level before you start winning at the highest level. And they're doing some of that right now.
And they've been doing that part for years. You get more talent, and more of those losses turn into wins. And you're seeing that as we go forward with this build. But to me, that is a staple of the Davey Martinez operation. You're not ever dead. You're going to battle for 27 outs. The cliche eye roll stuff that people that are cynical that don't care or don't watch the team are going to go, oh, I'm sure. But that is the Davey Martinez managerial staple. Now, there are other staples with the Martinez regime that aren't as fun. Things like the lineup will never, ever, 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 ever be the same two straight days, basically. Or certainly three straight days, right? That's just not going to happen.
What time's the base running clinic?
The outs on the base paths. Is he your manager? Then the history says they will run into 9,000 outs on base. And seemingly nothing will be done about it in perpetuity. So those things, it's all part of it, right? But he is beloved in the clubhouse. He runs a very upbeat, positive clubhouse. It's a very tight-knit group, and they scratch and they claw for him. Yesterday at the ballpark, the big story was Robert Hassel, who makes his major league debut. You referenced it. He became the first Nationals prospect called up to ever have two hits and a stolen base in his major league debut. The 23-year-old who's been waiting 5 years since being the eighth overall pick in the draft back in 2020 for last night, had to wait an extra day because of a rainout. And then the first pitch he ever saw in the major leagues, the kid they call Bobby Barrels got the barrel on it.
Robert Hassel!
Nice hand for a rookie making his big league debut. Many Nationals fans on their feet standing for him. A 23-year-old digs in from the left side of the plate, facing A.J. Smith-Shawver. The first pitch to Hassel is a line drive, base hit right field. He's batting 1,000. Robert Hassel III turns around a 98-mile-per-hour fastball on the first pitch he sees in the major leagues. He gets a hug.
Attaboy Robert Hassel, attaboy Dave Jagler. That's a good call there on the Nationals Radio Network.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Work has heard right here on 106.7 The Fan last night. He immediately stole second at 9 steals in the minors. Is a speedy guy. I've talked to him over the years many, many, many times, and he's always talked about wanting to run more and be more aggressive, and that's been added to his game as he's gotten closer and closer to the major leagues, and it's going to be a factor. You know, if he wants to stay up here and really help the team, being an athlete, showing speed is going to be part of that. Right now, this moment, he's the best center fielder on the big league roster probably because Dylan Cruz is hurt. And Jacob Young is on the injured list as of today. So he started in center. He hit seventh last night. In addition to the two hits, by the way, one was he went the other way against the shift and would have been like a routine ground ball to the third baseman if they weren't shifting him. But it gets through down the left side. The other was that well-struck base hit to right. And he got robbed in the ninth.
Michael Harris is a predator.
He's a beast.
He takes away so many hits from people.
In that inning alone, the ninth inning, he made a play on, was it Ruiz?
Garcia.
Luis. Louis crushes a ball to right center, and Harris tracks it down. Like, I mean, the guy covers ground like a Doppler radar. He runs into the fence, and then 2 minutes later is coming in sliding toward the infield to take away the Hassel hit in both directions. He was awesome. But Hassel should have had three hits.
Mm-hmm.
He had two runs, including the game-winning run last night because he was the courtesy runner at second to start extra innings. You can't have a better debut than that. Just happy for him because it was a long time coming.
Yeah, nobody's ever done that. I mean, what he just did last night, no one's ever done it. You saw the full skill set on display. That thing is so cool. I was, again, doing the postgame with Charlie and Dave last night, just talking about it. This is actually a little bit more normal that a guy would get drafted out of high school, take a handful of years to grow up, kind of become a man, both you know, maturity-wise, physically, as you lift weights and exercise and all those kind of things, you kind of grow into your body. This is now atypical. Because of how well schooled and how skilled some of the kids that are coming up are, they're more big league ready at younger ages, by and large, than has ever been the case. With coaching's better, access to facilities is better, everything's better for these guys. That we're at 10, 11, 12, instead of your dad going, get your elbow up, son. It's like a professional coach who's there working with you on everything under the sun. So it's unusual to have him take, quote, this much time for a prospect drafted in the top 10 to get to the major leagues. He's dealt with adversity, had a bunch of bounce backs. You and I have gotten to know him a little bit over the years, and he has that exact right balance for me, mentality-wise, between the no-doubt-about-it confidence that I belong here. I belong. Regardless of the setbacks, I belong. Right up to that line of what some might perceive as arrogance. I don't think he's arrogant. I think he has a confidence about him and an understanding. I haven't done anything yet, but I belong up here. And he gives that off, kind of gives off that energy as a player where nothing's too big for him. And it really, really impressive debut last night. Really happy for him, man.
So he debuts last night. Today we find out that Jacob Young is joining Dylan Cruz on the injured list, the other of the center fielders who's been banged up. That means that Dalen Lyle, another outfield prospect at the AAA level, got promoted to the big leagues today. Lyle, who's actually, according to MLB Pipeline, ranked higher in the Nationals prospect rankings at this point, a 22-year-old, is a really exciting kid. This is one of my sleeper prospects in the system for a couple of years. He was drafted in the second round in 2021 with the 47th overall pick. He's probably the fastest player in the system. Andrew Pinckney is right there with him. But I think Lyle, in terms of running the bases, might be their fastest guy going first to third. He's one of the leaders in the minor leagues in triples over the last couple of years. This year, he's been magnificent. He's hitting .337 with a .900 OPS. At AAA, he's hitting .360 in 18 games since being promoted. So he's only spent 18 games above AA in the minor leagues. And if not for an injury, he wouldn't be up. So it's very possible that it's a quick cameo, a look-see. He gets a quick opportunity. And then when everybody's healthy, they send him back down because he's only 22 and he hasn't been in AAA a lot. But when you get the call, it's your opportunity to show I'm not going back. And so with Robert Hassel, who got off to the fast start, if he plays really well, you're going to stay in the lineup. You know, if Dalen Lyle, I just imagine he'll debut tonight. Why call him up if he's not going to? If he starts and produces, they're not sending him back. They're in the business of winning games. But he's a really, really fun player. A hit tool over power.
Mm-hmm.
But he has, I think, been their most accomplished average hitter in the minor leagues over the last couple of seasons. He's got a good approach. He's very fast, as I mentioned. I think he can beat things out on the ground. He could turn singles into doubles. Defensively, he plays all three outfield spots, but he's best off in left long-term. He'll play right now because James Wood's entrenched in left field. He could play center for sure. He does in the minor leagues.
Athletic enough, certainly, yeah.
From time to time. But arm strength and stuff, I like him best in left. But now you got questions as to long-term how this all looks because these guys are all getting ready at the same time. And it's a huge test, not only for the front office, but for Davey Martinez when everybody's healthy. It's easy when Cruz and Young aren't available.
Mm-hmm.
But when those two guys are now healthy, do you send Jacob Young down to the minor leagues to AAA? Elite defender who hasn't really shown he can hit to the level that you want at the major league level. I work back from what is. And what is, James Wood's going to play every single day in left. What is that Dylan Cruz needs to play every single day he's healthy in either of the other two positions. And if it's not Jacob Young in the big league, he should play center every single day. So now you're looking for your right fielder. And that's Hassel, or that's Lyle, or that could be Alex Call. And I would imagine it's Hassel or Lyle. And then the other one probably should go back to AAA where they can play rather than having Alex Call sent down and that guy sit on the bench. That would be my guess.
Right.
But they got to sort all this out because you look at up 95 at the Orioles, they had a bunch of guys get ready at the same time, and they screwed up a lot of players' development, in my opinion, because they were all ready to play, and there was no spot for them, and they didn't trade any of them. And so you look at like Kobe Mayo still in AAA, was just rotting at this point and completely been hindered in his development. Heston Kerstad, I think they did a disservice to as well in the same way. So it's a huge challenge, and it's a great problem to have. This
right.
is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, don't get me wrong, I mean, this is going to go one of two ways here over the next several months. My guess is you got to find out this year who your other guy is with Wood and Cruz, and then the other one becomes expendable for a trade chip this offseason when you try to go get some pitching. And you can use the next 100 games to sort all that out, however you want to.
Yeah, I think it's very well put by you. That's a good summary of it. The danger is to be static and do nothing and just sort of say, well, the problem will work itself out. No. Proactive. But at the same time, be open to different possibilities. For the sake of argument, if Robert Hassel takes this opportunity and runs with it, congrats to new right fielder Robert Hassel each and every day. I got, you know, no issue with that. Or maybe it's Lyle who provides a lot of the same things that Call might, but at a higher athletic level, just in terms of his sprint speed and some of the tools that he's got. Call's a lot of grit and guts, and I'll do a little bit of everything for you. Dalen Lyle is that plus a higher profile to me, right? Or just at least a higher ceiling ultimately. So there's nothing written stone at this point. This is not a 100-win team where you have to go with the guy that's going to help you tomorrow. There's still a long horizon, even while you're competing and winning some of these games.
And to that point, it's not like these guys are at a level, other than Wood and Cruz, where you can't send them back to AAA using an option and continue to further their development, playing every day that way. It would certainly make more sense for Lyle, who's a year younger and way less experienced in terms of games, than Hassel. But I don't think that would be the end of the world if that happened for either of these two guys. Just their performance is going to dictate it. But I do have to say, and this will be the most predictable thing ever, while all respect to Alex Call, who's a really good dude, long term, he's irrelevant in this big picture for me. So him, I set him to the side and go, if there's a spot for you, we'll call you. I've got to figure the rest out around these guys.
Absolutely.
And you mean the least. So this is about, in this order, Wood becoming the best player that he can, Cruz becoming the best player that he can. I actually think Lyle's the next guy, more so than Hassel, but they'll be able to battle for that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hassel, and then Young in that order. And you got to figure out, like, who between Wood and Lyle and Hassel, rather, is one of them going to get you more on the open market?
Because there are three outfield spots. You just named five players.
Exactly. I mean,
there's the rub, right?
Now, everyone wants to move James Wood to first. Not a thing. They want to DH him. Not a thing. That's an outfielder who should play in the outfield. You don't make a 22-year-old a designated hitter who's immensely athletic and has brilliant speed. So he should be playing in the outfield. If you want to DH him once a week or something just to get him off his feet and keep him healthy, I'm fine with that. I would say the same about Dylan Cruz when he comes back. And, you know, you could rotate through your outfielders,
right,
and get all these young guys off their feet to DH for a day or something. But in terms of full-time, Wood every day, Cruz every day. Those are the suns in the solar system we're rotating around. And let's figure the rest out around them.
I would mix in James Wood just getting some reps at first for another lineup construction thing, but I'm not majoring in it. Just as an option is all I'm saying. Because I think that someone who's that athletic and that gifted can, you know, hide over there for a day as part of a series.
Maybe.
But it's along the same front as having him DH once every 10 days just to make sure his bat's in the lineup, but he's kind of off his feet, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think it's a gigantic waste to have that good of an athlete at first base.
I'd agree with
you. A guy that came up playing center field. And I'm not doing anything with James Wood again, like averse to where he's at his best or what's best for his offensive. Like, working that much defensively behind the scenes takes away from some of your offensive approach and stuff. Why am I doing that? So that I can get at bats for Dalen Lyle? Like, I'm not, respectfully, no. I mean, if he wants to do that in the offseason, if you want to at the end of the year say, hey, you know, we got a lot of outfielders. We have no first baseman of the future. We don't spend any money. We're going to put you at first, so learn it. I guess we could have that conversation. I still don't like it, but in season, I would not do that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those easy as pie things. You can take a couple of ground balls here and there. It's not taking away from anything, but I see your point in general. I mean, to me,
so you just take a few ground balls and then you play him there, or is he just doing it for sport?
Because that's the only, there are two spots I think that are the easiest in the sport to learn, left field and first base. So to me, that's one of those, he's so athletic, it's so good, I'm not going to major in it. It's probably a end of a road trip type game or something where if I've got to do it, I would do it. But again, I'm not sitting there and having him learn the intricacies and drill for hours and 100 different sessions and working with position coaches and all sorts of stuff. I mean, they're having Jose Tanner, who played five games since high school at third base, start at third base every day. So, like, he's such a world-class athlete, he can do it. But my point is with Wood, I'm trying to figure out long-term maybe a solution. And it is overkill to have a guy that's that athletic at first base, but there are three athletes that might be better and rangier as outfielders that I might end up playing instead long-term.
So Jose Tena means nothing to them long-term. So I can move him. He's a utility guy. If he's going to stay in the big leagues, you're going to move him all over. Everything I do with James Wood would be about, A, getting the most out of him. Where is he at his best? Where is he most comfortable? And B, also my relationship with him. I'm trying to make this a 15-year relationship.
That makes sense, too.
Hey, 22-year-old, do you want a DH? No. Okay. Do you want to play a position you've never played before? Like, moving him for the other guys is... It would be like telling the junkies, hey, we need your parking spot because the dude that's coming in on the weekend to do overnight.
There's a board out that likes to park up front.
Yeah, it all starts with what is James Wood's best situation.
That's a good consideration.
And I don't think it's at first base. But this is a really good problem to have, and damn if it's not very different than what it was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding that the process is working. If only they could spend a little money and add to these young players.
That means money leaves.
Leaves where?
Where it is.
Oh.
See, it's currently somewhere. Maybe there's no money. I don't even know. But like the money would leave.